Hey, we're in Omaha, Nebraska today on the show. We'll talk about Gage Woods' no-hitter at the College World Series yesterday. Bubba Carpenter is going to join me, but first, a word from Kendall King.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Hey, what an amazing day yesterday at the College World Series as Gage Wood throws the first no-hitter at the World Series since 1960. His first nine-inning no-hitter thrown by a Razorback since 1996. You can go up and down the list. I mean, the number of first times since that this was yesterday was amazing. But really, the main story is, Bubba, that this was an elimination game for Arkansas. This was a game where they needed to throw a minimal number of pitchers to be able to save their bullpen for down the line here in Omaha after they lost LSU on Saturday. I've been trying to rack my brain here lately and think of what are the greatest performances ever by a Razorback in any sport. And I'm having a hard time coming up with one that is any bigger than what Gage Wood did yesterday when you consider how he just controlled the game and just how big of a game it was for the Razorback season.
Yeah, I think you're right, man. I don't know if how to match what he did, and I don't know if anyone's done it in the past. I mean, it was incredible the way he just took over that game and dominated it. And he just from start to finish, I mean, the Murray State batters, they had no answer for Gage. And when just when they would try to catch up on the fastball, he'd drop a curveball in there on them. Just his command. Especially that fastball at the top of the zone. It's a special pitch. He releases it low, about a 5'2" or 5'4", 5'5" release point, and that ball has the appearance of a fastball that rises, even though it just stays there. They showed it from the ump camera, and if you can see it from the umpire camera, you realize how nasty that pitch is.
I mean, had you ever seen a nine-inning no-hitter in person?
Yeah, back in the day,
Okay.
playing in the minor leagues, we had some guys throw no hitters back then. And, I know when you're on defense, you get a little bit, as the game goes on, you get a little bit uptight because you don't want to be the guy to mess up a perfect game slash no hitter. And so, yeah, you get a little bit on defense. You're a little nervous on defense. I think the guys on defense are probably more nervous than Gage Woods. But, Matt, if you think about every no-hitter I've ever seen, whether it be a major league one, a minor league, college, whatever, there's always at least one good defensive play. And Reese Robinette made that play last night. That play going to his left, ball was hit 101 miles an hour, kind of a top spin swing, took a weird hop on him and came up, and he stayed with it. He ball gets by him down the line. It's a double. We're not having this conversation right now.
It took me several hours to see that play. I had actually stood up and gone to ask Oliver Grigg, who's Arkansas's communications director, about what were the long, if he knew what the longest outings in the history of the World Series were for a Razorback pitcher. And as I'm turned around asking him this question, I hear the ping of the bat and the roar of the crowd, and I missed the Robinette play. And it took me several hours to go back and find it. But yeah, I mean, that was a huge play. Gage made a couple of really nice defensive plays too, helped himself out. You realize they only put the ball in play seven times against him, seven times over the course of nine innings. It's incredible how dominant it was. And the ball never left the infield, Bubba, after the second inning.
Yeah, it's crazy. That one dude hit a ball deep to right field. And that was really the only other hard hit ball. And Gage had the one comebacker back at him, but I mean, Matt, just the way he dominated it, and it was just funny when he was describing it. Fastball middle is what Ryder was pushing on the pitch com, and so I don't know. He's just got a special fastball, and I said it before the game. I said, look, I know Murray State's a good fastball hitting team. They hit 323, I think, against righties. They haven't seen a Gage Wood fastball. There's very few fastballs in the country like Gage Wood. And I remember back when Matt Cronin was here, talking to Matt Hobbs about that. And that's a special pitch, his fastball. That's the best pitch in, I think, Matt, I don't want to misquote him, but I want to say he said that's the best pitch in baseball right there was a Matt Cronin fastball. And I feel like the Gage Wood fastball is right there with it.
It's kind of funny in retrospect. On Sunday, when the team was practicing, there was actually a question about whether or not Gage would even throw in the game because you look at the splits, Murray State, they hit about, I think it was about 50 points higher against right-handers than they did left-handers. And when I talked to Matt Hobbs after the game yesterday, the first thing I asked him, I said, "Are you glad you didn't start the lefty?"
What was his answer to that one?
He just kind of laughed. He said, "You know, there was no question in their mind that they were going to start Gage Wood. You know, it's seasons on the line. You go with the best pitcher that you have." And I mean, you know, no offense to Zach Root, who's pitched well in the postseason up until what happened on Saturday night. But I would argue that over the last 6 to 7 weeks of the season, there hasn't been a better pitcher on this staff than Gage Wood.
Yeah, I think he's been dominant since he came back. And just think how good he was before the injury. He was the same guy then, but I think he's come back even better now. And it's, look, I'm an Arkansas guy. I was fortunate enough to play for the Razorbacks. It just seems to mean a little bit more to an Arkansas guy. And seeing Gage out there doing it, I think was incredible. I don't know, just to see, you know, when he flipped the ball to his dad in the stands, and I don't know, it was a really cool, just a really cool, everything about it was just awesome.
How about that? What he told his dad, "Happy late Father's Day," as he flipped him a
Yeah.
ball after throwing a no-hitter in Omaha.
Yeah, and he doesn't even talk about, you know, he doesn't talk about the no-hitter. He talks about, "Wow, I wish I wouldn't have hit that dude."
Yeah. You know, it was hard to find a good soundbite or a good quote from Gage after the game because he speaks and he carries himself like he throws a pitch. It's short, compact, and you know, it's over in 2 seconds.
Yeah, there's not a lot of words there. It's but it's good. You know, he's I mean that's Gage though. That's how he is. It's awesome. I don't know. I tried to relive it last night, you know, in my mind and just think back about the pitches he threw and just his demeanor on the mound. He was in total control and I think it was awesome when, you know, after the eighth inning. You know, Phil and I were talking about it. And I'm like, he's coming back. I mean, he's, you know, no one, he's not getting any hugs in the dugout right now. He's sitting there. He's coming back out for the ninth. And I'm really glad because that's a once in a lifetime thing right there to be able to do that in a College World Series. And, you know, he's a strong kid. You know, throwing 119 pitches ain't gonna hurt him at all. And what's crazy, his 118th pitch was 97 miles an hour, which is incredible.
Yeah, he was just throwing straight heat there at the end. Matt Hobbs said that he asked him at the start of the eighth inning. He said, "I went up to him and he said, 'I've got to ask the question.' And he said, he looked at me with this look in his eye and he said, 'You know,' he said, 'I'm a dad. I've got three kids.' He said, 'If I would have taken him out of the game, the story today wouldn't be Gage Woods, no hitter. The story would be that Arkansas's pitching coach was dead.'"
That's awesome. That sounds like Matt Hobbs. But yeah, you gotta leave him in right there. I mean, he was just in total control. I think he could have thrown probably two more innings, the way he felt right there with that adrenaline and everything. So it's just super excited for him. And hopefully this is gonna give us a little bit of a boost. You know, a lot of times you can ride a wave of something like this, and next thing you know, the team's rallying behind this no-hitter and it kind of carries over. They say pitching, hitting's contagious. So's pitching, you know. So next guy that gets the ball, you know, is going to ride the wave of what Gage did. I think it's going to carry over to the hitters. I think the whole team just feels just a little burst of energy right now.
In the broadcast that I've been able to go back and watch, one of the things that stood out to me was Ben McDonald talking about pitchers this time of year sometimes not having a whole lot left in the tank. And then you've got Gage Wood, who coming into yesterday, I think he'd only thrown 20, 30 something innings all year because he had the shoulder injury, and then you know they took care of him as he worked his pitch count back up. How much do you think it makes a difference having that rest in the middle of the season, and how that impacts what he can do right now at the end?
Oh, I think it's huge, Matt. The fact that he, you know, he missed several starts there, didn't throw a lot of pitches. In contrast to like a Cade Anderson who's thrown, I don't know how many, 1,000. I forget how many pitches Phil said Cade Anderson's thrown at this point in the season. But Gage is fresh. I mean, to him, it's like, you know, it's April. He's feeling really good, and I think by the end of the season, most guys are starting to feel a little tired, and he's just he's throwing his best right now. So that's good to see.
Arkansas offensively, two games that, probably two of their worst games they've had this year. And I think one of the reasons on Saturday was Cade Anderson. And then, yesterday, it was not a terrible game in terms of getting hits, getting on base. It was a lack of timely hits. What do you see from them offensively that has to improve if they're to extend their stay a little bit longer?
Well, I'm gonna tip the hat to the pitchers. You said it, Cade Anderson's the best in the country. I mean, that's you can't overlook that. I know a lot of people you get out there on X and they're like, "What's wrong with the offense? We always do this when we get to home run." No, we face the best pitcher in the country. The dude's gonna pitch in the big leagues for a long time. And then you look at Isaac Silva yesterday. He's a sinker slider guy. Those guys are frustrating as a hitter because you look at him and you're like, he's got nothing to get me out. And the next thing you know, you're 0 for 4. I call it a comfortable 0 for 4 because, you just end up, the key bat facing a guy like that is to hunt the ball up. If you play his game and you swing at his pitch down, if you try to hit the two-seam fastball down, you're going to ground out. If you chase the slider, you're going to pop it up or roll over it. So you've got to stick to your game plan. And sometimes it's hard against a dude like that. And he had that two-seam fastball going, two-seam slider combo yesterday. And so we hit a lot of balls hard, though. I mean, there were several balls hit into the wind yesterday that at Baum Walker are home runs. And so it's not that we hit that bad. I think it's just the timely hitting. There were a couple of crucial situations. We had runners on base. We just couldn't get those runners in. One was 110 mile an hour line out from Vejiva Aloy. You can't do anything about that line out to shortstop. So, I thought our approach was pretty good for the most part. We chased a few pitches down that caused us to roll over. But other than that, I thought it was a pretty good approach.
Yeah, when Vejiva lined out, I thought they had Silva on the, they had him on the hook right there and let him off. But if that ball gets over Connor Cunningham's glove, then all of a sudden you might be talking about a several run inning and Murray State pitching the game completely different than they ended up having to do. I thought that was a huge play in the game when Vejiva lined out. We don't know who Arkansas is going to play yet. It's either going to be LSU or UCLA. As we record this on Tuesday morning, they are actually playing over at the ballpark. The loser of this game this morning, LSU and UCLA, is scheduled to play Arkansas tonight at 6 o'clock. Now, I say scheduled because there are a lot of things that have to happen before then. Number one, this LSU-UCLA game has to end. Louisville has to play Oregon State, and we need the rain to hold off. And there's a decent chance of rain later in the day here in Omaha. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not the Razorbacks are able to get on the field this evening, or if they are able to get on the field, are they able to get on there on time? What do you think the feeling is right now over there at the team hotel where you're staying, Bubba, with the players as they just kind of wait around to see how this might go today?
Well, they're anxious. They're ready to get to the ballpark. I guarantee they wish they could probably go play right now. And I was looking at the weather right now, and every time I look at it, Matt, it looks a little bit different. At 7 o'clock, there's a 6 o'clock, there's a 61% chance of rain, but it's a little thunderstorm. Who knows? It doesn't look like it's going to last, so it looks like it's going to move out. So I think we're going to be able to play today as long as there's not a lot of delays. But I think it definitely benefits us to play tonight because they're having to play right now. So they're going to have to go back to the hotel after this game, the loser, and then come back and play us tonight. I think that's definitely, sits in our favor. So hopefully the weather will straighten up for us.
I was thinking about the people who came up here on Saturday night. The tickets were going for like 200 and something dollars. I mean, for the cheapest seats in the ballpark. And it was not a bad game, but it was just so well pitched outside of that one inning where LSU scored three runs that there just wasn't a whole lot of action. I know there wasn't a lot of action in yesterday's game either, but you could get in the ballpark yesterday for $28. Which game would you have rather been at?
Oh, do you know the answer to that one? I mean, and people, if you think there wasn't a lot of action in yesterday's game, you're not a true baseball fan. I mean, that is unbelievable to see that, to put it in perspective, you're never going to see that again. I don't think in today's offensive era, the way bats are, the way the balls are, I don't know that you'll ever see that again in a College World Series. I think it's just unheard of, Matt. I mean, if you were at the game yesterday, you witnessed history.
One of those was my 7-year-old son. It was his first College World Series game. He was sitting in the stands with a friend, and I made sure to talk to him last time. Like, do you realize what you watched today? And do you ever want to go back to another World Series game? Because You're not going to get that again.
No, you won't see that again. I just I mean, you want to just soak it all in. You think about Hagen Smith at Globe Life Field, his performance, and you think, well, you're never going to see anything that dominant. Well, we just saw it last night on a bigger stage, backs against the wall, elimination game, and what Gage just said, guys, jump on my back, I got you, and it was awesome.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk more about the Razorbacks' road as they continue to try to get through Omaha. We'll look back a little bit more at Saturday's game against LSU, but first, a word from Kendall King.
The Kendall King Group family of companies plays to win, just like our hogs. We know how demanding retail marketing is today. From digital omnichannel creative services, through in-store signing and displays, and finally to social influence, we've got you covered. Our KKG Inc. family of companies, Kendall King, ShopCart Creative, and Soapbox Influence are winning with multiple retailers and brands. We play to win, and we'll be a winning partner for all your retail marketing service needs. Go Hogs!
Hey, welcome back to Omaha. I want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971, committed, professional, versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them now at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. Again, we don't know who the Razorbacks are going to play tonight. We don't know who the Razorbacks are going to pitch tonight. I did talk to Zach Root after the game, Bubba, yesterday, and I asked him, I said, "Are you ready to go again?" He said, I'm ready whenever they call my name." He said that it's a lot different throwing 38 pitches on Saturday than say if he would have thrown 80 or 90. The recovery is just a different it's a different recovery. And so I don't know if we'll see him tonight. Maybe you wait until tomorrow if you need him and go with some different guys tonight. But I suspect it's going to depend a lot on what the matchup is in this game.
Yeah, I think so. I think if it ends up being UCLA, you might see Zach Root. I think if it's LSU, I don't know that they'll go with Zach since they've already seen him. Just, you got to think about it, they've seen him a couple times recently. So, I don't know. But it's the thing is, Matt, is no matter who you go with, we've got arms to get outs to get through the losers bracket. You go back to like 2018, when Oregon State did it. I mean, they had a couple of guys step up really big. What's his name? Abel, that pitches the last game. Is that how you say his last name?
Kevin Abel.
Pitch Kevin Abel. You had a freshman. You had to have a huge performance from a guy like that, and he threw 100 something pitches against us. I think last night we got that huge performance we needed to save the bullpen. Now, I mean, we're actually in pretty good shape, to be honest with you. We got a whole lot of fresh arms, and it's all about getting outs right now. And so, I think we got plenty of arms down there to get the outs, no matter who gets them. It doesn't matter really who starts. It's about getting those 27 outs tonight and then get 27 again tomorrow, and I think we're going to be okay.
Yeah,
I think the
people.
key is, you referred to it earlier, is the bats. I think we need a little bit more timely hitting. For the most part, like I said, I thought we squared up some balls yesterday. I thought we had a pretty good approach. There were a couple of at bats, and I don't like to call guys out, like Logan Maxwell. He got jammed on the first pitch, fastball up and in, didn't get it enough out into the outfield to get a sac fly. That was with runners second and third, one out. That was after Vejiva's line out to short. You got to be better in situations like that. You get runners at second and third or third with one out, you got to get that runner in College World Series games. And but I still the offense, I still love our offense. And you look at Justin Thomas yesterday, 4 for 4. Reese Robinette had some really good at bats. And so yeah, I still feel good about the offense getting it done.
People will say that you need to have at an event like this somebody step up who has done something that they haven't done before. And on first glance, you would say, well, Gage Wood, is that somebody? But I think that we expected something good from Gage yesterday. I'm wondering, on the offensive end, who's the player who's going to step up? Or maybe there's somebody who comes out of the bullpen in the next day or so that steps up and has their game of the year. It feels like it's got to be more than just this no-hitter from Gage Wood. There's got to be other players who step up, and I feel like it needs to be more than Vejiva Aloy. It needs to be more than Charles Davalon playing at the level that you expect from them.
I think so. I think you need someone like a Cahillo, maybe Brent Iredell, one of those guys to step up and do something big. you feel like they've come up in a lot of big situations. I think it's one of those guys that you're going to need to come up in a big situation to get a big hit for you. And we know they can do it. They've done it in the past. I just feel like it's one of those guys. We know what we're going to get out of a bunch of those other guys. It is good to keep Vahiba Aloy, though. He's always in the middle of the action. It's always having knowing that bat's in a lineup ready to go. So I agree, though. I think someone's got to step up, and I'm curious to see who it's going to be.
Hey, speaking of stepping up, as we talk about the no-hitter, how about Ryder Helfrich and the game that he called? A lot of times the catcher gets overlooked when it's a pitcher's no-hitter. But, it wasn't lost on me yesterday that he calls his own pitches, and I asked Hobbs afterward about it, and he said he said, I asked for a pitch one time. He said, I radioed in one time. I'd like to see a fastball right here. But he said the other 118 pitches, that was all Ryder Helfrich.
Yeah, that's I agree. Well, I went down the field yesterday. I wanted to get Gage, and I was pretty certain I wasn't gonna be able to get a chance to talk to him. So I was gonna talk to Ryder, because I just wanted to hear his thoughts on how good Gage was, and kind of just the back and forth between him and Gage, how it was throughout the game. And so, but yeah, I don't think the catcher gets enough credit. I really don't.
And, for Ryder, I feel like, this is really his first full – it is his first full year calling pitches, because he didn't catch a whole lot of games last season. It has felt like to me, and especially when Gage has been on the mound, say beginning with that Florida outing, but not just when Gage has been on the mound, it feels like over the last 7, 8 weeks, you can really – the quality of his pitch calling – it just seems like it's stepped up a notch.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it just comes with experience. And I think that's why a lot of good catchers come here, because DVH and Matt Hobbs, they let the catchers call the pitches. And that's huge, getting that experience before you get into pro ball. A lot of times you get into pro ball and you've got a pitching coach calling pitches, but a lot of times they'll let that catcher, if he knows what he's doing, they'll let him go. And I just thought yesterday, I thought Ryder did a really good job. A few guys were cheating to the fastball, and it's like he knew the guys that were cheating to the fastball. Those are the ones he dropped that curveball on them. And, maybe a couple of changeups too, and a cutter every now and then, just to kind of keep them off that fastball. But at the end of the day, when in doubt, he went to the fastball. What I loved about it is Gage was spotting it up at the top of the zone. And it's, I don't like to say unhittable, but I mean, that's a really tough pitch to hit, is a Gage Wood fastball right at the top of the zone.
And this was not a bad lineup they were going against. I know you mentioned they haven't seen Gage Wood velocity, but they did play Ole Miss. They played Georgia Tech. They played Duke. They played UCLA. Going into this game yesterday, they were averaging 9.5 runs, 13 hits, and 5 walks. And so, I know a lot of people might look at this and say, well, he no-hit Murray State, whatever. But, I mean, this has been a really good offense this postseason, who, even if they didn't face Hunter Elliott, and I'm not sure that they did down at the Oxford Regional, they've still faced really quality pitching, and they had performed well up until this point.
Yeah, I mean, anyone that says, oh, well, it's a okay, but he did against Murray State's an idiot. I'm sorry, Matt.
I haven't heard that, by the way. It's just,
well, I'm sure if you dig around on X, you could probably find somebody out there. So there's probably an LSU fan boohooing it somewhere, saying it's Murray State. I don't care who. The guy was just completely dominant. I don't care who you're throwing against. That stuff plays. And there's a good chance that there are a lot of scouts in the stands. He Gage might have made himself a whole lot of money last night.
Yeah.
Not to mention the fact that he just – in the hearts of Razorback fans, he'll never be forgotten for this performance.
Okay, so you've scouted. I mean, if you are evaluating this as a scout, knowing the moment that he's doing this in, how big of a factor does that play in your evaluation?
I think it's huge. I think that's big. And then also the fact that he's still throwing 96, 97, 98, 100 pitches into the game. I can't remember when his last 100, his 98 was. I think it was in the eighth inning when the dude stepped out and Gage is standing on the mound, and you could just see him just brewing. And I told Phil, I said, he might throw this pitch 105, because you could just see it on his face. The next pitch was 98. But to throw 97 on your 118th pitch, that would get me really excited as a scout, because that just shows how strong the kid is. Man, it's just special.
I got to ask you, I almost suggested to you that you throw away the fly after Saturday. You're wearing it in like a vial around your neck, like a little kid wears their tooth when they lose it on the playground. And then I saw you were wearing it yesterday. I guess you got to keep this thing, right?
Yeah, you know what? It's you got to believe. You got to believe in it. Now, if we lose tonight, I'll flush the fly down the toilet. So, but yeah, I think you got to believe. It's just funny to rally around something in our booth up there. And if you just got to, baseball's one of those things, Matt. You got to believe in it. If you don't believe in it, then you're playing the wrong sport. And those little superstitions are fun. They're more fun when you lose, but just because you lose one game, you don't quit doing what you've been doing. The fly, I kept the fly the whole postseason, so I'll keep the fly. And there were a bunch of people on X saying, throw the fly away after the LSU game. I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to throw them away. As long as we're here in Omaha, we're in the right spot.
The importance, you think, of playing today, keeping the momentum from last night. I mean, we talked about the rain chances and the potential that there may not be a game tonight. How important do you think it is to be able to – I guess maybe what I'm asking is, does momentum end necessarily if you're not able to get back out there the next day?
No, but today's important. We need to play today. I think we really do. We need to go to the yard and play today. Everyone's feeling good, still riding the high from last night. I think we really need to play. Now, can this team flip it back on if we don't play today and we play tomorrow? Yeah, I don't think it's the end of the world, but I feel really good about this Razorback team if we can get out there on the field tonight and play a game.
What's been your favorite part of Omaha so far?
Well, obviously last night was
okay. Other than that.
Just the environment here, Matt, just and seeing the guys. I love watching the guys around the hotel. Just the atmosphere here. Even though we lost the game, against LSU, the atmosphere was incredible. And mm-hmm. and that's why you play the game. I mean, you play the game to get here to Omaha. And I'm not one of those that, I'm like, that's happy with losing, but getting to Omaha is a win. If you can get it, people don't realize how hard it is to get to Omaha, and this team battled through a lot to get here. I still say this is a special group of guys, and they're not ready to go home yet. Gage said it last night. He said, look, I'm not ready to go home. But I think for me, just the whole atmosphere here, and just kind of the reward for these guys, getting to see them enjoy Omaha, because I mean, it really is special environment, and it's something you won't match this environment until you get to the big leagues. You really won't.
That's
what
it.
About you? What's yours? Like, what are you so far?
Well, the Father's Day steak at the Drover was pretty good, but it's I tell you what stands out to me is the pitching. Like yeah. The quality of pitching here has been really good. I mean, you think about Cade Anderson against Arkansas, and then it's like it's built every day, and it makes you wonder, what are we going to see today? I don't think you can top what Gage did. But Cade Anderson against Arkansas on Saturday, 7 innings. I mean, he looked like a big leaguer. On Sunday night, Jacob Morrison for Coastal went out and just shoved it against Oregon State into the eighth. An incredible performance from him. And then you get Gage yesterday. The pitching, and it's not just pitching, but it's the pitching from the guys – who are going to be the dudes, in the MLB draft coming up here in a few weeks a few weeks. They've really lived up to their reputation.
Oh, without a doubt. And, obviously it's been a good few days to pitch at Charles Schwab. The wind's been blowing in. Mm-hmm. Balls haven't been going anywhere. So as a pitcher, it's a good time to be on the bump. But yeah, you're right. There's been some huge performances, and look, Cade Anderson's good. For me, he's the pitcher of the year in the SEC. I don't know. I view everything from the lens of the batter's box, and I Liam Doyle. He's got a good fastball. There's some carry on it, but Cade Anderson's got composure, mound presence. Like you said, he looks like a big league dude on the mound, and I mm-hmm. think that guy's gonna pitch in the big leagues for a long time. Liam Doyle's got stuff, but he doesn't have it upstairs, and that's the separator when it comes to baseball.
I felt really good the last couple of weeks about my decision to go with Cade Anderson over Liam Doyle on my National Player of the Year ballot. I think it's been validated with the way that they pitched here in the postseason. Bubba, great job as always. Bubba will be on the broadcast tonight. Hopefully, there's a broadcast tonight. It'll start at 5:30 over at Charles Schwab Field. Hope that you'll come to our website throughout the day after the game tonight, wholehogsports.com. We'll keep you updated on all the Razorback news here in Omaha. I'll be back with another show tomorrow. Hope to see you then. Have a great day, everybody.